next case of the day is number 056426, Martin Development against the City of Springfield, Illinois. Mr. Craven.
Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you. May it please the court and counsel. My name is Don Craven. I represent Malding Development in this matter. This case presents a class of one equal protection claim based on the...
Why are you bringing this appeal? You got what you want on the basis of the state claim, didn't you?
Well, on the basis of the state claim, we were awarded a writ of mandamus, ordering the city to allow us to build. This is a equal protection class of one claim for damages because of increases in this. These are steel warehouses that were intended to be built. The price of steel has gone up. The price of money has gone up, and the market has changed. So, in addition to the writ of mandamus, we seek damages under this theory.
And the warehouse was built at this point?
No, Your Honor, the warehouse has not been built. The Woolworth case, Woolworth versus Olich, raises two elements in a class of one claim. The first element is whether this plaintiff has been intentionally treated differently from others similarly situated, and whether there's a rational basis for that difference in treatment. The district court granted summary judgment to the city, but this record demonstrates that there are material issues of fact, genuine issues of material fact on both elements. As early as the city council meeting at which Mr. Malding's development plans were rejected by the city council, the council, through Alderman Coons, realized it was doing something it had never done before. It was rejecting plans which met every technical requirement set out in the city of Springfield's planning process. By rejecting those plans, the city council put Mr. Malding into a class of one. This issue was raised in the motion to dismiss. It was raised in a motion for summary judgment, which we had filed, and it was raised in the motion for summary judgment filed by the city. This issue is the simpler of the two issues. Just as demanding a 33-foot easement from Mrs. Olich rather than the 15-foot easement they demanded from everybody else, the city of Springfield refusing to approve Mr. Malding's plans while approving all other plans, which met the technical requirements, sets my client apart into a class of one.
You didn't specify what the other plans were, though. That's the problem, isn't it?
All the other plans, as Alderman Coons said, and
they may have been different for all we know.
The important part, as Alderman Coons said in the city council meeting, is that this is the first time that we the city have rejected plans which met all other technical requirements. It may have been a subdivision, it may have been a warehouse, it may have been something else. But it
was always the first time, isn't it? You have a lawsuit if it's the first time, is that your position?
If it was the first time and if there is no rational basis for creating that class of one, yes, Your Honor. There is always a first time. And in this case, the city has no rational basis for treating my client differently. And thereby, he meets both elements of the class of one. The second issue raised in Middlebrook is whether
those in the district court, as I understand it, you were using the Pittman as a comparable, not the whole world. But.
The Pittman warehouse issue came up in the district court and relatively morphed into an issue of its own. The Pittman warehouses are important for a couple of reasons. The Pittman warehouses are important to show that in this neighborhood, A, the land is zoned for commercial use, for industrial use. It's zoned for warehouses. And the African-American community which lives in this neighborhood, it's a residential neighborhood in an industrially zoned land pursuant to a variance, they had no objection to Mr. Pittman's warehouses. Were there differences between the warehouses? Apparently there were. One was smaller, one was larger, but they're both warehouses. They're both the objection to warehouses in an industrial zone is because of the trucks up and down the street.
there would have, Mr. Pittman's plans would have had trucks up and down those same streets. Yet there were no objections from the neighbors. There were no objections from Mr. Coon, from Alderman Coons or Alderman McNeil. And the Pittman discussion did morph into its own, but the record makes clear that we have taken the position from since the motion to
Pittman's request for the warehouse, there wasn't renewed by the city. It never got to the city.
It never got to the city. But the residents knew about it and didn't object. The same residents who objected to Mr. Mulligan's plans knew about the Pittman plans, knew that he was planning a warehouse. They weren't aware of the details. They never asked him for the detailed plans. They just indicated they had no objection to Mr. Pittman's plans for warehouses.
You ascribe their activity to the city news?
I think in this case, Judge, because of the timing, and often timing works against the plaintiff in a case like this, I think in this case it works in favor of Mr. Malding. Mr. Malding had plans before the city to build these warehouses on the west side. Mr. McNeil, one of the aldermen from the east side, enticed Mr. Malding to the east side and said, come build these warehouses with these jobs over here. Mr. Malding found a piece of property on the east side of Springfield. It was represented to him by Alderman Coons, in whose ward these warehouses would have been, that he would support Mr. Malding's plans so long as there were no variances. So we have Alderman McNeil enticing him to the east side. We have Alderman Coons representing that he will support it if there are no variances. The only intervening thing is this meeting at the church where the residents of the neighborhood put forth their objections using some very unpleasant racial epithets against Mr. Malding. And all of a sudden, both Alderman McNeil and Alderman Coons vote against Mr. Malding's plans. They have no other explanation for voting against Mr. Malding's plans, except some general public safety concerns. And Judge Scott found in the mandamus order that she specifically found that all public safety concerns were met in the planning process. So in the McDonnell Douglas kind of analysis, the public safety analysis, the public safety argument is a pretext. The only intervening cause, the only intervening matter, was the meeting between Mr. Malden
and the constituents of Alderman Coons, I gather.
Alderman Coons and Alderman McNeil, yes.
Now this is politics, isn't it? I mean, what is this doing the politics of zoning?
It's not a zoning change. But the land is zoned appropriately. They met all. They had no discretion. Judge Scott specifically found that politics is out of this mix. They had no discretion. It met every technical planning requirement. It met zoning requirement. It needed no variances. It didn't need variances for arterial streets. He was building public streets. It needed no. It should not be in the political process. She found that that they were without discretion. She found that politics had no place in this process. And we would ask that the decision be reversed because there is no other explanation. I see the light is on. I'll reserve my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Craig. We'll hear now from Mr. Johansson.
May it please the court, my name is Tracy Johansson and I represent the City of Springfield, its mayor and its aldermen. Judge Scott took into account every single fact that was presented in the record and determined that there was no prima facie case for class of one violation. She did find evidence and granted the motion for summary judgment on the mandamus and those elements were met and received his mandamus order. However, for a class of one equal protection claim, it must be evidence that there was a similarly situated individual or individuals who were treated differently, and number two, that there was an illegitimate reason for the difference in the treatment. There is no evidence in the record at all that Mr. Malding is similarly situated to anyone. He brings up Pittman in the lower court. Pittman presented residential warehouse plans to the city. He presented a warehouse plan to the state. Now, on appeal, we hear that he wants to compare himself to all developers who ever submitted plans to the city of Springfield. In PERS, this court held that in order to establish similar situation, the comparators must be prima facie identical in all relevant respects. He has not identified any evidence, has not brought forth any evidence in the lower court as to how these plans of all the developers that ever submitted plans to the city of Springfield are prima facie identical to Mr. Malding. PERS also held that plans, different plans submitted at different times to different boards are not prima facie identical in order to qualify for similar situation. Judge Scott did, in the mandamus order, rule that the public safety requirements of the technical review process for approval of these plans were met. She did not make an independent determination of whether or not those particular plans met every public health and safety concern. And you are correct, this is part of the political process. If an alderman promises a vote to someone, there may come other factors into play, and that may be exactly what happened here. Mr. Malden tries to equate the comments of the private citizens, their racial comments, to those of the alderman. The alderman did not condone those statements. They simply were in the same room where these statements were being made. The alderman at the city council meeting, in review of these plans, stated a rational basis for denial. They presented a legitimate reason. They're in the tape recording of the city council meeting, they identify public urination concerns, prostitution concerns of what an industrial or commercial warehouse that is operating for 24 hours a day would have on a residential neighborhood located at least not more than 60 feet away from it. The city council provided these reasons of public safety. Never once did anybody say that I'm adopting the comments
of... Well, Scott apparently didn't think there were adequate reasons, though, right? If she's not in mandamus here, she had gone and built a warehouse.
For the mandamus action, the technical review requirements within the city code are listed in Chapter 153, and that is all. It specifically lists what must be present in those plans in order for them to be approved by the city. Now, the entire city code is not taken into account in that review process. And importantly, I'll note that Mr. Malden asserts in his brief that the public safety concerns were addressed and list the different departments that are involved in the technical review process of land subdivision. However, there's one important department that's missing, and that's the Springfield Police Department. Springfield Police Department does not sit on the review board for final plats and for large-scale developments. So there are public safety concerns that are out there.
Did you appeal the grand mandamus?
No, we did not.
Well, the answer to Judge Ciccotti's question is she didn't think it mattered. Huh?
In mandamus,
it's an argument, but these aren't arguments you're making to overturn that decision.
No, we are not. We are simply here on the review of the entry of summary judgment for the city on the equal protection claim. The prima facie case for equal protection is different treatment from persons similarly situated. Those people have to be prima facie identical. And there is no evidence in the court that Mr. Malden is prima facie identical to anyone. The second burden...
Did he submit any... And I know he referred to an argument earlier that they come by alderman that this is the first time we've ever done it. Did he list those projects which were granted and approved?
No, he did not. And that is a very important point. Even if an alderman says we've never done this before, granted, that could be different treatment. But the requirement for a prima facie case for Class 1 is differential treatment from others similarly situated. There is no evidence in which to compare Mr. Malding to all other developers. Simply, we would ask that this court... affirm the district court's judgment. There is absolutely no evidence in the record that he can meet one of his prima facie elements. He has a burden to produce evidence at summary judgment. He compares this to the Owick case that went before the Supreme Court. Owick was simply a review of a motion to dismiss. And in a motion to dismiss, the court is reviewing allegations as to whether they've stated a claim. This is different. This is a review of a motion for summary judgment. He must produce evidence at this point. He failed to do so, and he failed to respond. Thank you.
What was the exact proposition before the alderman when they voted? What were they asked to vote on?
They were asked to vote on approval or disapproval of what's called a large-scale development plan and also a final plat. The final plat would create lots on the property with which lots could then be sold.
How does the subject matter before the council on that vote, how does that differ from the subject matter before Judge Scott on the mandamus? What's the difference? Was there a different issue involved?
I'm not sure if I completely understand your question, but I'll give it a try. Judge Scott on mandamus can only look at the city code's technical requirements in Chapter 153 for approval of that specific plan. It lists things like the north must be denoted, they must present the location of public streets and whatnot. When the issue comes before the city council has the duty to see that those requirements listed in Chapter 153 are met, but it also has an overriding duty in the Illinois Constitution and the United States Constitution and the oath that they were sworn under to preserve and protect the public health and safety. And that is exactly what they were reviewing at the city council meeting. They were reviewing the technical requirements listed in Chapter 153, and then also what are those overriding public health and safety concerns that are not specifically listed.
Now, in any other project, would both of those inquiries take place?
They could, yes.
They could or would?
I can't speak to every single plan that comes before the city council and as to whether the alderman specifically in that case thought about things like prostitution or public urination. I don't know.
My point is, would the council have to vote in each situation to approve each development?
Yes, they would. It's required.
Thank you.
Mr.
Craven, you have 2 minutes.
This vote by the Springfield City Council was to approve or deny a large-scale plan and a final plat. That is the same vote that they take on every large-scale development before the city that is going to be built in the city of Springfield. In response to the city's motion to dismiss, we argued that these plans met every technical requirement and that we were treated differently, Mr. Malding and his company, were treated differently than similarly situated developers. Never before, and Alderman Coons admitted that, and that admission is part of this record. Alderman Coons admitted that never before had the city denied approval of plans that met all technical requirements. Judge Scott found that all public, in an order that was not appealed from, Judge Scott found that all public safety concerns had been met. The approval of these plans, when they meet all technical requirements, is not a legislative act, it is not a political act, it is a ministerial act. And they should have, plans should have been approved. Leading to the question, why weren't they? Having met all of the concerns that the council properly was to consider, it leads to the conclusion, and a jury could so find on this record, that the racial epithets directed to Mr. Coons, directed in the presence of Mr. Coons and Mr. McNeil, not by them, but in their presence, in which they did not separate themselves from, that a jury could find, there's sufficient evidence in this record, that a jury could find that the prerequisites for a class of one had been met. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel for their fine oral arguments. The case will be taken under advisement.